Today we are going to talk about the Paticca Samuppada. Now if you have been following the talks that I have given throughout the series of talks, it will be easy for you to understand this. Now if you came for the last talk, it will be easy for you to understand, because we dealt with this to some extent, although I didn't call it the Paticca Samuppada. The word Paticca Samuppada means, the word today in the English language is determinism. Determinism means that everything that happens in the world happens due to the presence of the necessary conditions. That means when there are hurricanes, earthquakes, and any trouble coming anywhere in the world, this is not done by spirits or gods or devils. Everything happens due to the presence of the necessary conditions. And those necessary conditions are not the work of some invisible supernatural beings. Everything is natural. Natural means that it happens due to the presence of the necessary conditions. Paticca Samuppada means paticca. The word paticca is what is called an antecedent. Antecedent means something that comes before, an incident. Now we speak of incidents. We speak of accidents. Now these are all things that happen, incidents. Accident is also kind of incident. And this incident occurs due to the presence of something that came before. And what came before is the antecedent. So paticca is the antecedent. Samuppada. Samuppada means it comes into being at the same time. Comes into being at the same time. And the word in English for that is concurrence. Concurrence means something that occurs at the same time. If two things occur at the same time, that is a concurrence. So my translation is antecedental concurrence, which of course is not a very common way of saying it. Normally people call it dependent origination. But the dependent origination is not such a good translation. If we speak of antecedental concurrence, then it will be a good translation, although it is not a common translation. And when we speak of antecedents, we can speak of a series of antecedents. A series of antecedents means antecedents coming one after the other. Now, we can speak of spatial antecedents, we can speak of temporal antecedents, and we can speak of logical antecedents. Now, if we speak of temporal, spatial antecedent, supposing we have a row of marbles, of a row of balls of any kind, we strike one ball, the first ball, and the first ball we strike the second ball, then the second ball we strike the third ball, and the third ball we strike the fourth ball, and so on. And ultimately the last ball will roll over. Now that is a series of spatial antecedents, that is in space. That is a series of spatial antecedents. Now there is another thing which we can call temporal antecedent. Now temporal antecedent, to demonstrate that, I will just make a strike the table with my hand. Now these are some sounds that come one after the other. That is a series of temporal antecedents, that is in time only, not in space. You hear the sounds in time, one coming after the other. That is a series of temporal antecedents. Now, supposing I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. These are numbers, one coming after the other. Two comes after one, and three comes after two, four comes after five, three, and five comes after four, and so on. Is that in space or is it in time? It is not in space or time. This is what is called a logical antecedent. That is, the two has to come after one, and three has to come after two, four has to come after three, like that. So when we speak of the paticca samuppada, we are really speaking about a series of logical antecedents. We are not talking about time or space. That is why it is called paticca samuppada. The one, the something comes up immediately after, not immediately after, comes along with it. Now it's something like this. If your eyes are closed, you don't see anything. But the moment your eyes open, you begin to see things. The opening the eyes and seeing happens at the same time. But if you don't open your eyes, you can't see. That means the opening of the eyes comes first logically, and then comes the seeing. But both happen at the same time. So that is the meaning of paticca samuppada. So it's like that. So if you have read about the paticca samuppada or studied it or thought about it, it will be easy for you to understand what I am saying. Otherwise, if you are hearing this for the first time, you will have to go and ask some other people about how this is what I was talking about. At least you'll have to read a book later, maybe. The important thing is, we have this formula, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnana paccaya namarupam, Namarupa Pachya Salayatana, Salayatana Pachya Passo, Passa Pachya Vedana, Vedana Pachya Tanha, Tanha Pachya Upadana, Upadana Pachya Bhau, Bhau Pachya Jati, Jati Pachya Jara Marana, Soka Parideva Dukkha Domana Supayasa Sambhavanti. That is the Eva metasa kevalasa dukkha kandasa samudyo hoti. That is the formula. Now, if I begin to explain this in two ways, because there is a traditional way of explaining this which I think is wrong. And now I am trying to explain it in a different way. Now, the traditional way is that this is divided into three lives. Avijja and Sankhara come in one life, then from Vijnana onwards up to Bhava is the second life, and then from Jati, Jara, Vyadi, Marana, that is the third life. Now, important thing to understand is that the teaching of the Buddha, we recite, Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehipassiko opanayiko vachattang veditabbo vinyohiti. There, one important statement is akaliko. What does that mean? Akaliko means it doesn't involve time. It is not based on time. So if it is not based on time, we cannot divide the Paticca-samuppada into three lives. Because that is time, past, present and future. So this is why I maintain that the Paticca-samuppada is independent of time or space, because both time and space is a product of the Paticca-samuppada. Here Paticca-samuppada is not, as I said, determinism. Now that means determinism can be seen in two ways. One is what I call objective determinism. The other is subjective determinism. Now, objective determinism means that we are talking about things happening in the world outside and we are saying that everything that happens in the world outside is dependent on the necessary conditions. That is okay, but this is the main principle on which modern scientific research, modern scientific thinking is based. It's based on this principle of determinism. It is because people understood how flight takes place that they could build an aeroplane and we can fly if you have money to pay for the ticket. And the other thing is even going in a car, it's also based on the same principle. The necessary conditions must be there. If one condition is absent, you can't go. For example, if you don't have enough gas, then you can't go. So, all the conditions must be complete. Now, what the Buddha was talking about was not that objective determinism. What he spoke of was the subjective determinism. Now that means, this is very interesting to understand, that ancient people always thought that everything that happened in the world happened due to spirits, either gods or the devils are doing that. And even now there are some people who think this hurricane and things like that happened because of God or devil, you see. But the scientists, they gave up these traditional dogmas and now they began to think in terms of determinism. But there is this subjective determinism where everyone thinks, including the scientists, of course the psychologists began to understand that there was no person inside our body doing the thinking or the speaking or the acting. That is also determined by the necessary conditions. That means there is no person inside our body. Now when we look at the TV, we see pictures of people running about or doing various things or maybe singing songs and speaking, making speeches. But we know that there are no people inside that box. We know that these things are happening due to the presence of the necessary conditions. It's only when you switch it on and then you have to change your channels and you get what you want. So that means you are aware of determinism there. But when a person comes and speaks to you, or I am speaking to you now, you think there is someone inside me, this body, and speaking. But in actual fact, there is no such person inside. That is also happening due to the presence of the necessary conditions. This is what Sigmund Freud started talking about. He called it psychic determinism, the psychologist. So when they speak about psychology, they are aware that there is no person inside. But when they begin to live their ordinary life, they still think that there is a person inside. But the problem is, the Buddha pointed out that there is no person inside doing anything. It's all happening due to the presence of the necessary conditions. This is the important thing. And this Paticca Samuppada is trying to explain how these things are happening inside. Today, modern psychologists are trying to discover this, but they have not been able to properly understand it fully. There were the behaviorists who started saying, we cannot understand the mind at all, and we have to stop speaking about the mind. We can only talk about behavior. And that is what is called behaviorism. And they only started describing behavior. But Freud was the person who started talking about the mind. He was trying to discover how the mind was working. So the Freudian psychoanalysis is really an effort to explain how the mind works. But he also made a lot of mistakes. And we can point out those mistakes if we understand the teaching of the Buddha properly. I don't want to go into a detailed discussion of Freudian psychology, but the important thing is to understand what the Buddha was talking about. There are some things that Freud discovered. One thing that he discovered was what is called unconsciousness. Unconsciousness means that we are not aware of how our mind becomes conscious. We only know that we are conscious, but we don't know how we became conscious. We don't know how our mind is working. Now, it's not only the mind, even the body we don't know. That's why when there is something wrong with our body, we have to go to a doctor. Why? Because the doctor knows more about our body than ourselves. What is outside the body we can see, but what is inside the body we don't know. So in a similar way, we don't know how our mind is working. Although we are conscious of the external world, we are not conscious of the internal world. We can't look within and see the mind. Although we think there is a mind. If someone asks you, where is your mind, you can't tell where it is. And how your mind is working also we don't know. So that's why many people go to a psychotherapist or psychiatrist or some person like that to find out about the mind, your own mind. So this is the meaning of unconsciousness. Unconscious means you are not conscious of your mind. You are not conscious of what is going on. Now that unconsciousness is what is called avijja. The word avijja is usually translated as ignorance. This is not ignorance. This is unconsciousness. You are not aware of what is going on. That's the meaning of avijja. How did the Buddha come to know about this avijja? Last time I told you that what he did was, he purified his mind, free of the, what I call the hindrances, the pancha nivarana. By purifying the mind, he entered the first jhana, where there was vitakka, vitara, priti, sukha, ekagata, the five jhanangas. Vitakka vichara referred to, I said, conceptual thinking. Of course, today these atuas and these people who try to explain, they say it is the exercise in concentration where you bring your attention to the object and then think about the object. So, but that is the wrong way of explaining vitakka vichara. I said vitakka vichara, vitakka, takka, it's a takka, it's a logical thinking. Takka. And vichara, he means questioning, asking a question. So what it means is that I translate it as inquiry and inference. That is, when you perceive something, when you see something, you ask yourself, what is this? And then you, this is this. Now that is the conceptual thinking, forming a concept. So that is vitakka vichara, which is there in the first jhana. And that vitakka vichara is called vachi sankhara. Now this is very important to understand. Because those who talk about the Paticca-samuppada in the traditional way, the word sankhara has been explained as karma. Because the Buddha spoke of chitta sankhara, vachi sankhara, and kaya sankhara. Because these three words were used, chitta, vachi, and kaya, the commentators thought that Buddha was talking about karma. But there, the Buddha was not talking about karma. If you read the sutra, there is a sutra called Mahavedala Sutra and the Chulla Vedala Sutra. There, the Buddha explains these things. That kaya sankhara, he calls in and out breathing, asvasa prasvasa. Vachi sankhara is vitakka vichara. And chitta sankhara is vedana and sanya. So this is important to understand. Now, if you remember what I told you last time, the vachi sankhara, which is vitakka vichara, stops when you enter the second jhana. When you enter the fourth jhana, asvasa prasvasa stops. The in and out breathing stops. When you enter sanya vedita nirodha, that is the last one, the vedana and the sanya stop. That means the chitta sankhara stops at the last point where you enter the sanya vedita nirodha and the mind completely stops. Mind is an activity, I said, not an entity. And that activity stops at that point. And it is at that point that there is avijja, a complete unconsciousness. Now when he comes out of that state, the first thing that happens is the chitta sankhara starts, which is the vedana and the sanya. And when he comes to the third jhana, the in and out breathing comes up. And when he comes to the first jhana, the vitakka vichara comes up, which is the vachi sankhara. So in other words, from a state of unconsciousness, these three sankharas come up, which is simply the activity of the mind. These are all activity of the mind. I said earlier that in and out breathing really refers to emotional excitement, not just the breathing in and breathing out. So that the mental activity is what is referred to as sankhara. And this mental activity is creating the world that we are aware of. That is what is creating the world that we are aware of. Now this is very important, people don't understand this. When the Buddha became awakened, he ended up with an expression which is given in the form of a gatha, which you may have heard, and that is, aneka jati sansaram sandavissam anibbissam gahakarakam gavesanto dukkha jati punappunak. What does that mean? I have been traveling in samsara in search of the creator of the world. Gahakaraka means the builder of a house, but here builder of a house is not what you are really looking for. The builder of the house is the creator of the world. He was going after this creator of the world. And then he says he couldn't meet this creator. He didn't meet the creator. And he says, dukkha jati punapunak. It's painful to be born again and again. It is unpleasant. You see, you think usually when you see a baby, you think the baby is very happy because the baby smiles sometimes. But if you can recall your past, you will see that that baby is not in a very happy state because a lot of discomforts going on and a lot of problems. The baby can't move about like other people move about, and baby can't take food when hungry. Unless someone puts the food into the mouth, the baby is not able to take food. So many problems. Birth itself is a big problem. That's why immediately after birth the baby cries. Not because the baby is happy. You see, even being inside the mother's womb is not such a comfortable thing. So you see, the important thing to understand is that birth is not a very pleasant thing. That's why dukkha jati punapunak, to be born again and again, is not a very pleasant thing. And now, in the second verse, the Buddha says, gahakaraka dittosi. What does that mean? I have seen you, Creator. The second verse he says, now I have seen you, Creator. Puna gehang nakahsi. You will not create anymore. You will not create anymore. Sabbe te pasukha bhagga gahakutang visankitang. Your whole structure has been destroyed. And all supports broken down. And then he says, visankara gatan chittam. That's the important one there. Visankara gatan chittam means the mind has stopped creating. Tanhayam khayamajagati. That emotional urge has stopped. That is the tanha. The emotional urge has stopped. So in other words, we are creating the world. Some people ask me, who created the world? I was invited to give a talk one day in a prison. And after the talk, there was a time for questions. And one of the prisoners, who was a young man, he asked, who created the world? I said, you created the world. And there was another monk who really took me there. He got frightened because I said that. And he didn't allow me to talk after that. You see, the problem is that he didn't understand what I was going to say. So the important thing is, there was a deva who came one day to the Buddha and asked a question. He asked, if you travel in space, will it be possible to reach the end of the world? So the Buddha said, no. How wonderful what you say is, perhaps very wonderful, because I was a yogi at that, my past birth, I was a yogi. And I had the power of traveling in space at very high speed, like the speed of light. And then I traveled for 100 years, and at the end of the 100 years I died, and I was born as a deva. Now what you say is the proof of that. I have proved it through my own experience. Then the Buddha says, without reaching the end of the world, this birth, old age, disease, death cannot be attained. You cannot be free from birth, old age, disease, death without reaching the end of the world. And then he says, this world, the beginning of the world, the end of the world, and the way leading to the end of the world is in this fathom-long body itself with its consciousness. What that means is, we are creating this world through the process of perception. If you read any textbook on psychology, you will begin to see how the psychologists are explaining the process of perception. They have a lot of pictures to illustrate this. And if you see those things, you will see how the world is being created by your mind. So even modern psychologists are aware of this. Although they are aware of it, they don't take it too seriously when they live the normal life. And some of these psychologists even go to church and they think their God created the world. You see, things like that. But the important thing in Buddhism is that the world is simply created by this mind. And this is what the Buddha is talking about when he is talking about the paticca samuppada. Avijja paccaya sankhara means, from a state of complete unconsciousness, the mental process begins. That is the meaning of sankhara. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara paccaya vijnana. Now vijnana is our process of knowing the world, becoming aware of the world. That is the meaning of vijnana. There is chakku vijnana, seeing, sota vijnana, hearing, gana vijnana, smelling, jivha vijnana, tasting, kaya vijnana, touching. So with these five vijnanas, we become aware of the world. We begin to see, hear, smell, taste and touch. But these different things, we get different things from the different senses. Now when we open our eyes, we see things. But we, if our eyes are closed, we can't see things. We can't see with our ears or a nose or a tongue. and the ear is able to hear sounds, but the eye is not able to hear sounds. The nose is not able to hear sounds. So each sense organ is able only to perceive one kind of thing. Then how do we become aware of a world? By combining all those things, we become aware of an object. And the combination is done by the mind, the brain, working of the brain. And that is what is called mano. So when we speak of mano vijnana, we are really talking about that combination. That is the vijnana. So it is this mental process when it begins, the vijnana comes into being, and the vijnana is able to become aware of a world. Now, when we become aware of world, what do we call the world? What we call the world is what we see. What we see is simply objects. Now I see a lot of objects here in the form of human beings here, but that is all objects that I see. And every object is a visual image. Like taking photographs in a camera, throughout my eyes I see pictures. And then it's not only the picture, I also form an idea of what I see. That means I give a meaning to what I see. And that I do in the form of a sentence. It's verbal. I give names to things. Now each one of you will have a name. And not only that, there are common names like a human being or a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. These are also common names. But you also have a specific name. Now that image is what is called the rupa. Rupa is an image. And the name I give, the identity, is the nama. That is the meaning of nama and rupa. So, vijnana pachya nama rupam. That means, when I have become aware of things through the senses, then I begin to see as objects nama rupa. The objects that I see are all nama rupa. Nama rupa go together. I see an image and I identify the image.